gracious God, as we gather this night, bless our hearts, our spirits, all of us who are gathered with your presence. Help us to know your grace in the midst of this community and your prodding toward the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
The scripture for this evening comes from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Remain seated for the reading of the gospel this evening, and to simply, as you are there and hearing the words of this gospel, rest in them, hold them, and hear them. Jesus said to them, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and the kingdom's righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This week in Bible study, we have been talking about the kingdom of God, those attitudes and actions of the Beatitudes that give us glimpses of what God's vision for the kingdom is about, what it means to have the kingdom come here on earth, what it means for us to wait for the fullness of God's reign, and how we live into that now, even here and now when it is not fully here yet. So I have a secret for you. I have seen the kingdom of God, and it is in Sturgis, South Dakota. Now, I think the man who clapped back there is the man who's headed to Sturgis as he leaves here. Is that correct? Yeah. And some of you who laugh because you know why he's going. Sturgis is famous for once a year having tens of thousands of motorcycles invade the entire western half of South Dakota. My family is from Sturgis, my mother's side, and I grew up going to Sturgis for summer vacations either well before or well after the bike rally. The thing about Sturgis is that in other parts of the year, it is a small town like any other. It has its own characters, its own quirks, its own dynamics and problems and places, just like the ones that you and I are from. It is not all bikers. It is a simple, small town, 50 weeks of the year. About 13 years ago, actually, I had been in the parish for a couple of years. My cousin from Sturgis called me. She was about 10 or so, and she had finally gotten involved in the local church. And in getting involved and meeting the other youth there, she wanted to become more involved. And one of the things she had noticed was that everyone else was baptized, but not her. And so she had called to see if I would come and do it. The next time you're here, will you do my baptism? She'd already talked to the pastor. She told him she wanted to be baptized. Was it okay if her cousin did it? Absolutely. And so I said, sure. I would be honored. This would be a delight for all of us. I hope that I can get there soon. My grandfather died a few weeks later. So as I talked to Keila's mom, what we worked out was that as the family gathered that week, we would gather around the font for a baptism the night before my grandfather's funeral. We would be there at Grace Lutheran for a baptism and then the next morning for a burial. We decided it would be good just to keep it just to our family. We would gather, go home, eat. It would be part of the week for us. That's what we decided. Keila, however, had other plans, ones which she didn't mention because why would she? And from the moment Keila knew that her baptism was imminent, Keila began wandering around the small town of her birth and daily life and inviting everyone she knew to come and see her become part of the family of God. Everyone. She invited the baker down the street. She invited a bartender. She invited anyone that she saw on the street, whether we knew them or not. She invited the entire town of Sturgis. And none of us knew. So as I came up upon Grace Lutheran Church that night, and I got out the key the pastor had graciously shared with me, I noticed a couple of suspicious-looking characters hanging out on the wheelchair ramp. And I said, can I help you? And they said, we're here for Keela's Baptist thing. Okay, I said, that's great. And I opened the door and let them in. Before my family could get there, there were a whole bunch of people I didn't know. By the time my aunt and uncle arrived with Keela, my uncle's jaw just dropped. And he stood by me and he said, well, that's the cranky guy from the coffee shop. And that guy's lived here all of his life. I've never seen him talk to anyone. That's the woman who made your mom's wedding cake. That's the man who lost his legs in Vietnam. Keela probably saw him wheeling down the street. She knows all these people. I can't believe she invited them. But they were there. And they were delighted. And by the time our little crew of about 100, 120 gathered up, standing around that font, we knew that there was something more about that night. Life and death, promises and grace, grief and hope were all kind of dancing in that room in a way that I had never experienced. A 10-year-old girl delighted to be part of the love of God had invited all of these people to come and be part of the family, and they had, because they believed her when she said that this was all about God welcoming us in. It was just family there. It was simply more family than we expected. A little child led us in realizing that the kingdom of God was there in that room. And as I looked out, it is still one of my most powerful visions and images of the kingdom. People of every shade and background, people from Harley clubs to the Lakota Nation, gathered around the word and the water and the promises of God. And somehow all in that moment, delighting in knowing that God was present and that they were part of that. I have seen the kingdom of God, and it was in Sturgis. But I've also seen it here, in Garbo Central, as people gently and not so gently sort through things with a humility and a hope that cares for the gifts of God. I saw it as a young girl came and gently took the chalice from me on Sunday night and with delighted confidence took my place at distribution. I've seen it at my home church, glimpsed the kingdom on a hurried Sunday morning when as I was rushing by quickly to get to the next thing, someone in the congregation was assisting in worship another one who understands things differently than most of us. I've glimpsed it here and there, in places completely unexpected, in people unlikely, and on days that I would rather not have remembered that I am supposed to be part of the kingdom. On days when I would rather not have been reminded that I am supposed to be about the work of God. Where have you seen it lately? Have you been looking, watching, waiting? Have you peeked around a corner or have you stared straight on where you thought it should or would be? Where have you seen the kingdom lately? Seek first the kingdom of God. It has come near. God breaks through and gives us a taste, a touch, a vision of what it is to be in the kingdom. And he gives us that here and now, and inviting us in that vision to keep seeking, to keep waiting, to keep being part of the vision, and to keep delightedly inviting others, delightedly telling others that they are part of the family, that this is about gathering in the love of God, that they are welcome into the kingdom. Amen.
If you miss in the red book, the red hymnal, number 621, there are five stanzas. We all see the refrain each time. Stanzas 1, 3, and 5 all. Two higher verses, four lower. Let's stand.
Good and gracious God, inhabit our eyes and our hearts with wonder and with expectation. Weave your spirit into our days and our steps. Enliven what is weary in us, especially those things we give to you now. Heal what is broken among us, especially those things that we name now. Give hope to what seems lost, especially those things that we lift now. And hold us always as your children, hearing us as we pray as you taught us. Our Father,
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Save us from the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, our power, and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Sending him is Seek Ye First. Serve the living Lord.
Thanks be to God.